Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
So the gospel is part two of two things that happened very rapidly. One is the angel Gabriel, as you know, speaks to Mary, and Mary says, "Yes, may it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel has told Mary that Elizabeth is pregnant. And so Elizabeth runs off to the hill country, and that's to go visit. Mary runs off, to go visit Elizabeth. And we call that the visitation, right? And then we hear the words of Elizabeth. She declares Mary blessed among women. That blessedness, we'll get to that in just a second. I want to tell you about an article that I read a few years ago in the New York Times. And the columnist's name is Maureen Dowd. I don't know if you've ever heard of Maureen Dowd or not, but she's New York City Catholic, kind of sort of Catholic, kind of anti-Catholic Catholic, one of those Catholics, okay? Anyway, Maureen Dowd wrote an article, and the name of the article was Black is the New Blue. And the blue is the blues, like singing the blues, like being down. But she was saying it's no longer the blues that we're experiencing. It's a blackness. It's a depression. It's a darkness that she was writing about. Black is the new blue. And she was commenting in this article, and it really spoke to me. What she had to say. She said, over the past few decades, women have gotten less and less happy. She said that even though women have more choices than they've ever had, they have more opportunities in life, they make more money than that they ever made in history. Women are less and less happy, so the survey says. And she's perplexed by this decline in the general kind of psychological well-being of women in the United States and in Western Europe. She's perplexed because she thinks, here we've achieved all of these choices that we've always wanted. And now 50 years later, instead of being happier, we're not. And she called it a paradox. Remember that word from last week? An apparent contradiction. Where two things don't quite seem to go together. We have all these things, but instead of making us happier, they're making us less happy. She reflected that happiness, that as our choices have expanded, seems to be mysteriously slipping away for many people. It was almost like choices were currency. Choices were the more choices I have, the better off I am. But she came to this conclusion in her article. That choice is inherently stressful, and it brings this kind of sea of distraction. Which way to go? What should I do? In this profound sense of being lost sometimes about what the path is. And this sense of confusion and being kind of off your base isn't just for women. It's for women and for men and for kids and for everybody. Although it was especially obvious in the surveys and the Pew reports and those kind of things, it was more acute, it was more tangible, if you will, among women than it was among men. There's a special kind of happiness in life. There's a kind of happiness that the world cannot give and the world cannot take away. There is a peace that only God, the author of our lives, can give us. And we call that special kind of happiness, we call it blessedness. Okay? And where does blessedness come from? Blessedness comes from being in God's will. Blessedness comes from following the path of God. Blessedness comes from knowing God's will and striving to follow God's will. Now, I'm going to use a word here that I know some of you will find maybe a little difficult, a bit offensive, maybe a dirty word, some might say, okay? So you might want to plug your ears because you're not sure you want to hear this, okay? But the word is obedience, okay? Yes. See, we have to be obedient. And I know that's a dirty word in the world today. Everybody wants to know, I'll do what I want, when I feel like it. I'm not obedient to anybody or anything. But the path to happiness is obedience to the will of God. And that seems contradictory to people. But it is the truth. It is the source of Mary's blessedness. Be it done unto me according to your word. And as soon as Elizabeth saw her, as soon as Elizabeth laid eyes on Mary, she knew, blessed are you. And not only was Mary blessed in herself, her blessing was so rich that it went into Elizabeth, right into Elizabeth's womb, into John the Baptist, and John leapt for joy just in the presence of Mary, this woman in the grace and love of God. Blessedness. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. Blessedness is this profound and deep and personal kind of joy. Remember last Sunday we talked about joy. And blessedness is a component of that. The world we live in seems to distract us. And we need guidance. And the guidance that we seek is the will of God. To know God's will, to strive to do God's will, to be obedient to the command of God. You know what? God is the author of life. God knows what he's doing. God is calling you and me, and he's calling us to obedience, and he's calling us to blessedness. You know, there's another kind of happiness besides blessedness. There's this sort of sentimental happiness that kind of comes and goes. It can be quite high and quite low. Not long ago, and I hesitate to even mention this because it is so sensitive, and this is real. It's so sensitive and such a difficult subject that I cringe a little bit when I think about talking about it, but it's true. It's real. This is a true story. And it speaks to what I'm talking about. Not long ago, I know somebody who tried to take their own life. And I remember speaking to a mutual acquaintance about this. And they said to me, he seemed happy. He seemed happy. And I have to say, one of my thoughts is, did he seem blessed? Blessed, that rooted happiness. You know, I'm not saying that people who have the blessedness of God don't experience depression, don't experience mental illness. And I know how complex and complicated the whole question of taking one's own life or being in that dark, dark place. And nobody wants to go there. But there's not a single family, there's not a single person out there that hasn't been touched by it in some way or another. And we are seeking this blessedness that transcends the reality of the sorrowful mysteries of our lives. That abiding sense, the obedience to God and the will of God above all things. Obedience requires wisdom. It requires a desire for the truth, faith, hope, and love. God is the author of our life. And obedience to God opens us up to this blessedness. In the conversation between Mary and the Archangel Gabriel, it concluded with these words, which I've already spoken to you tonight. Mary says, be it done unto me according to your word. She opens her heart to the outpouring of God's grace, and that is going to bring Jesus to life in her womb. Be it done unto me. God's grace poured into me. So she says yes to the will of God. And she runs off. It's about 50 miles away. I don't know how long she made it before she had to take her break. But it's about 50 miles from Nazareth down to the hill country outside of Judah. But as soon as she heard, said Mary set out and traveled to the hill country, to a town of Judah, where she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the infant leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth cried out, "Blessed are you! Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." That blessedness, we celebrate that blessedness in this Advent season, even in the darkness, even in the waiting. Mary says, yes, you know, I'm going to confuse our liturgical seasons for a minute. I know we're in Advent, but I'm going to talk a little bit about Lent, okay? In the season of Lent, we find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And some of you know this. So there's Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And what does he pray? "Not my will be done, but Father, your will be done." And our Lord himself demonstrates this path of blessedness, the blessedness of being obedient to the will of God. You know, at Christmas, Jesus is getting a body, and he's going to use that body to give to us as a gift. That body that took shape in the womb of Mary, that body that was given to Jesus, that he would give it to us. "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body given up for you." In today's culture, there is this pushback against the commandment of God or obedience or anything like that. And the call of the culture that we live in. And this was what Maureen Dowd was picking up on. This is what, she didn't have exactly this philosophical language for it. She didn't talk about it in the terms of Christianity or obedience or the will of God. But the reality is she knew something was wrong. That we have all of these choices and all of these opportunities, but something's missing. Because our culture says your individual ego is the only criteria to evaluate the world around you and the decisions that you make. But what does the church say? No. No, the criteria by which we make decisions is the will of God, the commandment of God, the desire of God, the path before us. And that path, my brothers and sisters, is the path to blessedness. Blessed are you among women. You know, seek to do God's will. God is the author of life. You know that? And he knows what he's doing. He knows his plan for you and he knows his plan for me. I'm going to tell you a quick little story. A true story about a Catholic priest was asked, invited to go and speak to an evangelical Protestant congregation. He was friends with a Protestant pastor. Now, they did give him, and he was this particular priest happened to have a gift for preaching. So he was invited, but they did give him a couple of ground rules, okay? They says, none of those superstitions about Mary. You know, you're not allowed to talk about that stuff. So he goes, and he's giving his remarks, and he says to them, this is kind of a fundamentalist congregation he was addressing. He says, you got your Bibles? And they all had their Bibles, their King James Version with them. He says, turn to Luke. This is a true story. Turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 28. So you hear the pages rustling. There we go. Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Read with me. Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. And then he says, okay, now let's flip over to Luke chapter 1, verse 42. They flip over to Luke chapter 1, verse 42. Read with me. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And then he says, congratulations, you just prayed the first half of the Hail Mary, okay? Mary, full of grace. Blessed are you among women. This blessed state. I know many of you have a nativity scene in your houses, don't you? I hope you do. Maybe you have a nativity set up. Maybe this is what I invite you to do. I invite you really seriously, today, tomorrow, in the next few days. Don't take down the Nativity right after Christmas. Leave it up in the Christmas season and take some time and go to Bethlehem and sit there and meditate on the Nativity and pray the Rosary. Pray the Rosary. What is the Rosary? It's a meditation. It's a meditation on the sorrows of life. It's a meditation on the joys of life. It's a meditation on the glory of life. It's a meditation on the light of Christ in the world. We meditate on these mysteries. We had one of them tonight in the gospel, the visitation, when Mary visits Elizabeth. Maybe you can pray a decade of the Rosary for your children. Maybe you can pray a decade of the Rosary for your spouse. Maybe you can pray you haven't met your spouse yet, your future spouse. Maybe you can pray a decade of your Rosary for your future spouse. Maybe you can just spend some time meditating on what it means to be blessed and ask God to show you the path to blessedness. See, blessedness is a special kind of happiness. Yeah, we have the sorrows, we have the glory, we have the joy, we have all of those things. That's all part of a blessed life too. But this Advent season, as the light is growing in the darkness, God is calling us to blessedness, calling you to blessedness. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. So join with me and meditating on the scene in Bethlehem and praying for the gift of blessedness for ourselves, for our families, for our world.